B-Pod Studios.
We talk to him out there every game. He is the great Rod Jaworski. He is brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. Built to be the best. Well, Jaws, I don't know what to ask you other than the miracle season continues. What did you see yesterday?
You know, you just mentioned Bradford White Water Heaters built to be the best. This team, we might be able to say that about this Eagles football team. It's been just remarkable. And, I really don't have a whole lot to say. I mean, it's just a remarkable way that this team is playing right now, finding ways to win a game like yesterday. I mean, Cody Park, thank you very much. But the Eagles played well enough to win. I'm enjoying the ride right now. You know, I went through the tape. There was nothing that I could say, wow, here's why they won, here's why they made plays. There were so many really, really good plays made by the Eagles. And quite honestly, I thought the secondary was absolutely phenomenal. Now, Mitch Trubisky is left a lot of plays on the field. I can tell you that. But, you know, I thought, you know, guys like Sullivan, LeBlanc, and Douglas, guys that, you know, we weren't even talking about as being guys that were going to make plays in a playoff game, actually played, I thought, extremely well.
Yeah, LeBlanc made the one tackle on the tight end, which was a really key play.
Oh, my God, on the first down.
Yeah, and Maddox got beat a couple times. But in the end, it comes down to the final drive. And I thought the drive was well called. I thought that Doug Peterson tried to run the football, even though they didn't have success running the football. I thought it was really good that he imparted that kind of balance in it. What did you think?
Yeah, well, you know, all season long, you know, my favorite word for this team has been the B word. You know, when there is balance, and, you know, even if you don't run for 120 or 130 yards or even 150 yards, you just make the defense play the run. And even if you gain just 2 or 3 yards, it keeps the offense on schedule. You know, leaves the whole playbook open when you're in 3rd and 3 rather than 3rd and 8. I'm telling you, it's a huge difference. And they've been fortunate in this stretch lately to stay in a manageable situation. And Nick, once again, you know, very good on 3rd down, very good at reading the defense. But, you know, he's going to have that kind of game against the Saints as we look ahead. And I think it's in him. I really do.
Yeah, let's not look ahead just yet. Let's look at this. I'm going to look ahead with you, but let's first of all, look, they kind of neutralized Khalil Mack in this game. They didn't do the same to Hicks, but Khalil Mack, they moved him all over the place, and they trusted their tackles to take him on, and it worked.
Well, you know, I didn't think he had many of those splash plays that you see from Khalil Mack. You know, but when I went through the tape, I thought he was a factor in the game. You know, I mean, he played the run very well. In fact, those plays down at the goal line, you know, where they had the kill play that Doug so explained so eloquently after the game, you know, they called the run. Didn't think Khalil Mack coming from the backside could make those plays. And quite honestly, I think if he didn't make those plays, they would have smashed it up in there, probably scored before getting to 4th down with Golden Tate. So, you know, although the sacks weren't there, I thought he had some pressures and he did make some plays in the game. But he didn't make those plays that got the defense all energized and got the fans all into it. So to a certain degree, yes, I think he was negated, but he certainly wasn't eliminated from the game.
Yeah, there was a turning point in the game and the Eagles got the ball back at the 40. And I was, I started to think about myself, this is the difference between an experienced team and a non-experienced team. When the Bears had to get a 1st down at the 6-minute mark, they did not. They went 3 and out. And then the punter inexplicably kicks the point of the football like it was a pooch kick. Did you notice that? It gave the Eagles really good field position there.
No question. I think that was critical. You know, they only had 60 yards to go. And, you know, and I know because I've done that many a time as a player, you know. All of a sudden, you feel you just gained 20 yards, 2 first downs without even going on the field. And just mentally, it prepares you. But, you know, I think there is something about Nick Foles that there's that calming effect. I wish I could have played the game like he played the game. I always felt, you know, I had to have my hair on fire to play. And Nick is just the opposite of that. You know, he's that Joe Cool Montana type guy where nothing seems to faze him. And the players sense that with him. And then, you know, you read the comments after the game from the players. There was just a a calm in that huddle, a calm that they were going to score, even, you know, going down to the fourth down play. And I was actually shocked after the game when they asked Nick about that play, the Tate touchdown. He said, yeah, we ran it once or twice in practice. I'm going, once or twice?
Yeah.
I expect him to say, oh, we practiced that like 20 times this week or something. It's just a remarkable play.
The thought process behind it is good. He's moving the pocket, and he's got the Golden Tate on the slot corner, and he's going to win that match. But he has to make the throw, and he slings it sidearm perfect. And it was just earlier in the drive, the second down at the 45, the double screen fake, and he hits Goddard, who breaks that tackle. It was a tremendous call.
And Goddard made a couple of really good plays in the game. Obviously, the touchdown pass, you know, the Bears only had 10 guys on the field. And, you know, as you mentioned, you know, the way that Nick changed his arm angle, you know, Leonard Floyd was in his face. He was a big, tall, rangy guy on the pass to take the lead in the game to Golden Tate. And I'm just trying to think as fans make this comparison to Carson Wentz and to Nick Foles. I'm looking into my crystal ball. I'm just thinking, if Carson is in that situation with a defender in his face, because of his athletic ability and ability to extend the play, he just may take off and try to run and make a play that way. And here's the difference, I think, between a Foles and a Wentz. You know, Nick lowers the elbow, gets the arm angle down, throws the ball kind of sidearm accurately, and all of a sudden you got Golden Tate making the play. Those are the little things that really differentiate these two quarterbacks, you know, when you look at how they've performed. Both have performed extremely well, but there's a difference between how they play the quarterback position.
All right, we're having a little discussion here on compassion for the kicker who misses the kick. Now, even in many locker rooms, okay, and a situation like that tears your heart out. How much respect can a team have for a kicker to console him in a situation like that? What's the real story in the locker room?
I'll give you an example. We had a kicker. I'll go way back to maybe 74, 75 with the Eagles when I'm here. And we had a kicker by the name of Horst Muehlmann.
I remember the kid from Germany. The German guy.
And Horst was a heavy drinker, by the way. You know?
Yeah.
During the 2 days in training camp, he would be at the campus casino at the Widener University, and the casino there was a bar. It wasn't a casino. And come out for practice in the afternoon, half in the bag, you know? So that was Horst Muehlmann. So we're playing the Redskins, and we got the ball at about our own 5-yard line with 2 minutes to go. And I lead this tremendous drive down the field. Obviously, I'm patting myself on the back here, Mike. And I get us down to about the 20-yard line. You know, we're right down near the end. We got a few ticks left. Maybe we get a couple plays. And I remember coming to the sideline, and Horst Muehlmann is standing next to Coach Ramil. And we had like a 4th-and-2, right? And Dick turns and he says, "Horsey, what do you think?" And Horsey says, "Let's go for it." He did not want
to kick
it. Even attempt that kick.
Now,
and by the way, we got stopped.
I guess what I'm getting to is that, I mean, that's the whole season that he misses the kick. And I know you want to have compassion for another human being, but he's not like a football player. And I find it hard to believe that a football player who's gone through that war could be compassionate with that guy.
I have compassion for all the guys that play the game. But I you know what? That make the kick. It's pretty simple. Make the damn kick. And you got, hey, you know what? You're a highly paid professional athlete. You got one job to do. This wasn't 55 yards where I might say, you got to make this kick. When your season's on the line, you know, and the guys have been grinding it out for, you know, 59 minutes and, you know, 50 some seconds, you got to make that kick. So in that regards, that's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. And hey, I don't know how much the tip of the ball affected it. If it would have went in, would have not went in, I don't know. But those kicks, you have got to make.
Yeah.
So I'm not as compassionate as maybe some people are.
Yeah, you're a hard-hearted man, Jaworski, but I'm the same way. So, sorry, let's look ahead here, because there's a different team that the Saints are going to face. And, you know, there were some accusations that the Saints ran up the score, that last year they wanted the Eagles instead, you know, and the Vikings got them instead, and they would have won the game, and all this. There's all this backstory here. But the Saints are a major favorite here against a much different team that they housed earlier. How do you see it?
Yeah, it's a much different Eagles team, and obviously the quarterback is different as well, and that's the big change. But in fact, you may remember, Mike, after that Saints game, the article in the Monday Morning Quarterback by Peter King, who was embedded with Sean Payton and the Saints that weekend. And literally, he exposed the next day after that game. And I'd recommend people to go research that Monday Morning Quarterback column by Peter King. Their game plan was to attack Sidney Jones. Remember, he was out for a few weeks, the hamstring.
Yep.
And not only attack him in the passing game, but in the running game. And they really took advantage of him before he literally had to take himself out of the game because he was hurt. And you know, this kind of gives you an insight to what, you know, Sean Payton's about and what really every coach is. If you have any weakness or a banged-up player, it's not like, oh, leave him alone, you know, he's hurt. No, you tried to embarrass that guy and humiliate him. That's what you're trying to do. So it kind of gave me a little bit of insight to this game, and I think the Eagles go back and revisit that article, and they'll know what Sean Payton was thinking in that game. But hey, let's be realistic here. This is going to be a difficult task. This Eagle team is playing well, and there's no question that the secondary is playing much better right now, but this Saints team is high powered. And as I mentioned, Trubisky a moment ago, as I was looking at that tape, I'm saying I can see Drew Brees, you know, how he plays the game. He'll be checking it down. The minute you start, you know, squeezing up tight, all of a sudden he goes over the top. So, you know, you won't get plays left on the field by Trubisky. So this defense will once again have to elevate their game.
Well, you know, at this point, I can't count them out to me. I'm looking at the lines on these games, and I'm going, these are irrelevant now the way this team's playing.
Yeah, and again, you know, look at this weekend. You know, visiting teams going into tough places and winning football games. You know, this this league is crazy, and it makes it wonderful. And by the way, that catch, non-catch, had to be one of the most ridiculous plays, and I've been around the NFL since 1973, and the NFL better clean up their act on some of these plays. It's embarrassing. As good as this game is, as much as we love the game, to have a call like that, to me, and again, I think the Eagles should have dove on the ball, which is probably the other thing we should talk about, but, you know, you don't want to get in games like this where you just, you know, these guys are on the phone for 5 minutes and they're got the rule book out, you know?
And they make a makeup call because
and they make a makeup call.
Compromise call, whatever.
Really,
it's
a good way to put it, right?
Yeah. All right, Jaws, a pleasure.
Hey, always great, man. I hope we get to talk about another victory next week. Is this really getting exciting, my brother?
Yes, it is. We'll talk to you.
Right.
All right, there
thanks,
he is. Ron Jaworski, brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. Built to be the best. All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.